Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
So we're here today talking about standing up. Denise and I married, of course, for, seems like forever, because it's awesome. I can't remember. Well, that's actually not true.
Yep.
I actually can remember a time when I wasn't standing up.
Yep, come on, bro.
A time when I was, when I thought I was standing up, but I was nobody's hero. That's the sad truth. Especially for me, not because I, you know, was in the military or was a policeman. It turns out my dad was all those things, and he had come back from all that and just shared about all the corruption.
Wow.
In there. So I got bitter towards that. I didn't trust any of that, but boy, was I into comic books from the age of five. And I just loved comic books. You know, you read all about heroes.
Yep, come on. Yeah, come on,
heroes, bro. That stand up for what's right.
Don't,
and isn't that... Isn't that why we're here?
Yes, bro.
Isn't that why we came?
That's exactly right.
Come on.
Well, grew up, next thing you know, I've got 10,000 comic books.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've read them all. Some of them, like, multiple times. I'm not. So, you know, and that was my life. So I really, I so badly wanted to be a hero. And I didn't know how to do it in real life. I desperately wanted to, but I didn't know how to do it. But
on,
boy,
bro.
These superheroes, they were doing it. They invented ways to fight evil.
Yeah.
It was inspiring.
Yeah.
Think about some of the things that, you know, these heroes did. That's what I wanted to be. And, you know, there's two things, there's two ways that you become a superhero.
Come on.
The one is basically something happens to you, something radical, to actually get your powers. Like Spider-Man, of course, you know, he was bitten.
Right,
not
got
powers.
Come on.
Or your life changes drastically, and then you're never the same.
Yep.
And you're on a mission after that. That's Batman.
Yep.
His parents were killed. He falls into this cave, and he's never the same.
Come on.
And he just wants to fight evil.
That's right.
Come on.
You know, I wish I could say, that's me. But it wasn't. It was so not me. I had grown up to be over a quarter century old, and I had not been a hero to one person. I had not saved anybody, but I could tell you who Spider-Man saved in number, you know, 156, and what happened in issue 200.
Wow.
And all that geeky stuff. And I didn't save anybody. I don't even think I was a hero to my daughter. You know, my daughter was around 7 at the time, and I mean, we were great pals, and we would play together. We were always together, but I don't think anything I did really in her life was really heroic. In fact, I know many things I did were just caused her much trouble and grief. And the list goes on. The sin list goes on. I look at, you know, the very sin list in the scriptures, and there may be 3 or 4 of the sins that I know I haven't done, but most of them, that was me. You know,
yeah,
selfishness, lying, idolatry, impurity, lust, impatience, immorality, rudeness, rebellion. We could just go on and on with that. And so many lives were hurt by that. My life actually became like a super villain rather than a superhero. And one that comes to mind, his name was the Terrible Tinkerer. And this guy was so brilliant that he would invent ways to do evil. He would just make up ways that no one ever thought to have crimes. And that was me with my sin. I would just invent things. Wait a second. You know, when I'm confessing some of this stuff to the brothers, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
never thought, you never, who would even think to do that?
Come on, bro.
And that was my life.
Come on, bro.
And many people were hurt by this. You know, in an attempt to rectify this, I decided to become a comic book artist. I figured, well, I'm like over a quarter century old and I don't have superpowers. So, well, I'll write about this stuff. And that's really what I thought. And I actually thought that I could write about some of my shortcomings and my sins and my failures as a parent to help other parents.
Yep.
And it was a comic book that I wrote for many years called Silly Daddy. And it was around that time that I met a woman.
Come on now.
In Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death."
Yeah.
And I was 20 when I met Joe. Actually, technically, I think I was 19, but It was right before my birthday. I rounded myself up and told him that I was 20, so it was a long story, but anyway. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but I was 20 when I met him. I was very young, and I was in college, and there were a lot of ways, like this proverb, that sounded right to me. You would have thought that I would have been happy in my life. I had a full scholarship, academic scholarship, to a private university, worth a lot of money. You know, I had met Joe, and here was this, you know, older, very worldly, artistic man who told me he loved me and, you know, wanted to marry me. And, you know, and too, like I said, he was artistic. He was always appealing to my vanity and saying, oh, can I draw your portrait? And he made me, you know, a character in his comic book. You know, I mean, just all this, you know, I mean, all this wild stuff. Yeah, and, you know, he had a nice house in the suburbs, so I moved in with him very quickly. Yeah, you know, I even had a new car. You know, for a 20-year-old, my life seemed like it should have been going pretty good. At least all my friends thought it was, you know, something to be envied.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe and I had a lot of laughs together. We also had a lot of bad fights, but we did have a lot of laughs. To kind of go along with the comic book theme, when he told me he wanted to marry me, we were actually both dressed up as superheroes and dancing on a cable television dance show. So there was just always something exciting, wild, and crazy going on, you know. But you know what? I mean, it was entertaining, but it wasn't fulfilling.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. And in school, I took a lot of philosophy classes. I mean, I read so many books by so many of these old guys who are now dead and, you know, wrote a lot of papers. I learned a lot about a lot of different ways of thought, but nothing really satisfied my life. Nothing satisfied my soul. I didn't find any answers that I felt were worth listening to. My life, my relationships, and all my learning at that point were just really failing me. It was then that I figured, well, I've read all these other books, let me try to give the Bible a chance again. I had been taught it a little bit as a kid, and as I read it on my own as an adult, I was reading the crucifixion where Pilate talks to Jesus, and he asked him, he said, where do you come from, to Jesus? And then he says to him, what is truth? And when I read that, I really felt like I could relate to it. You know, I had read all these books, I had studied all these different ways, and I was left with a, what is truth? Just a very defiant attitude, not even thinking that there was such a thing. But it was at that point that I started to pray to God just to give me direction in my life. And it was amazing because about just a few weeks later, I met my neighbor, Barb Shelbrack, who's here today. You know, and she asked me if I wanted to study the Bible with her. I know, you know, I mean, that's just a miracle right there.
Yep.
And as we started to study, you know, she showed me just scriptures about Jesus. And I saw that for the first time that, you know, Jesus had authority. All these other philosophies I had studied, no one spoke with authority, but Jesus had authority, and I saw that he was my Lord and my Savior, and that I needed to adjust my life to his standards, and I decided to do that. Of course, I had to make many changes because my life didn't match up to that. One of them obviously meant, you know, moving out of Joe's nice house in the suburbs. So I did that. You know, I moved out, and I warned Joe. I told him, I said, you know, you need to seek God too. Your life depends on it. This is that important.
Amen.
So then I was baptized, and I started a new life.
Come on.
Amen. Meanwhile.
Come on. Come on, Joe.
Meanwhile, there is a way that seems right to Joe Chipetta. But in the end, it leads to death.
Yep, that's right.
You know, around the same time that Denise was met by Barb Shelbrack, Jay had reached out to me, and we had become great friends. Our girls played together, and I really noticed that they were a different family, that there was something about them that was special.
Come on.
And I figured, well, that's awesome. I'm special too. I'm the super duper artist. So it really seemed right to me. And one day Jay whipped out the Bible. He's like, let's study the Bible. And he didn't get farther than one verse. And I started swearing at him.
Wow.
All he said was, I just want to give you what I have. And I was like, who do you, and with all the swear words, who do you think you are? My life is great. Now I'm lying through my teeth. But I was nobody's hero. Denise did this heroic thing.
Come on.
Moved out later.
Come on.
And, you know, every time I would see her in town, you know, it was infrequent, but I would see her, and she was like them. She was different.
Come on, come on.
And I couldn't figure it out. Because it didn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
It just seemed weird. Why was she all of a sudden confident and radiant when she was never confident before? What in the world was she doing? And over time, after everything was stripped away, and I realized I had to really take a look at my relationships with my daughter, with my friends, that were, it was shallow relationships. There was no depth.
Yep.
And, you know, I kept thinking about what Denise was saying. You need to seek God. Think about your daughter. That's what she said. And sadly, I remember a comic book that I did, and it was just a one-panel comic. It was me, Maria, she's about six, we're both looking up, and Maria asked, where does God live? And in my long hair, I responded, I don't know. That's a big thing to think about. That was it. That was all the direction I had for her.
Wow.
That was it. You know, finally, I just couldn't stand it anymore.
Come on.
I had to have real answers, because the way that seemed right to me was so empty. It was just empty, and it was I finally realized that it was hurting me.
Come on now.
I was somebody's nemesis. And what do I mean by that? You know, in the comics, they have, the superhero always has a nemesis. You know, if you look at your X-Men, you've got Professor X, he's the good guy, the guy who uses the wheelchair, and his nemesis was Magneto. You know, Spider-Man has many nemeses. Green Goblin, you know, many nemeses. Superman, of course, Lex Luthor. What I finally realized, because there was this huge division in what the Shelbrecks were doing and what I was doing, was that I wasn't a good guy. I was a bad guy. I was hurting people. I was malicious. I had more in common with the villains. And that just horrified me. And so finally, I showed up at Jay's door, and I was like, Jay, you were right. I was wrong. Let's study the Bible.
Come on.
A week later, I was baptized.
Come on.
And I have never looked back. I was just delighted to be on a true superhero team.
Yeah. Come on.
With Jesus. And Jesus is the ultimate superhero.
Yeah.
With the ultimate superpowers.
Yeah.
And I want it in on that action. And God bless it so much that He brought me into this family that I do not deserve.
Come on, bro.
But He brought Maria, Denise, and we have two other kids together. It is just exciting to be part of Jesus' superhero family. So, you know, as we think about our own life, and as we look at what Jesus has done in our individual's lives to touch us and to help us see the wretch that we are, how we didn't stand up, how we were not heroes, let's remember how Jesus stood up to death. He stood up until they killed him. That's how much He was willing to stand up.
Come on,
despite the pain and that sacrifice that we need to be so grateful for.